OLTU.com,
the home of quality podcasts.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 210 of Shutters Inc. I know it has been a long time between drinks. If you will cast your mind back to the dim dark past of episode 209, I made the comment that I felt that your time was valuable and that I didn't want to put out content if I didn't feel there was something compelling to be said that warranted the investment of your time. And that's why I've stayed silent for so long. Over Christmas and New Year, as you may or may not have known, if you're friends with me on Facebook, Kath and Max and I did a 9,500-kilometre road trip to Perth and back, which was absolutely mammoth. And all that time behind the wheel gave me a lot of time to think. And one of the things that I came to realise about Shutters Inc. was, A, I didn't want it to die. I still love this podcast. But two, I realized that I wasn't comfortable doing it on my own. I felt like I was missing something with Shelton's departure. And as I spent all those hours behind the wheel, I realized that what I felt brought great value to this podcast was the interaction between Shelton and myself. You know, over the 6 years that we did this podcast together, we built up a great rapport. We came to understand each other's sense of humor, and we had a lot of fun at the same time as sharing a lot of information. And I think that's what made this podcast so compelling. And so that got me thinking, could I find somebody else to, you know, come on board as a co-host for this podcast? And to me, the most obvious person to reach out to was a man who describes himself as having an opinion on everything and not afraid to share it. He was Shelton's main foil in creative photo workshops. He is none other than Glyn Lavender. Glyn, welcome to Shutters Inc.
Well, thank you very much. No pressure there, at least, you know. If I'm going to be your co-driver in this 9,000-plus-kilometre trip, it's going to be a bit scary.
Oh, thankfully, you don't have to do that road trip like I did, man.
I've done that trip, and it's lots of fun.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
As tiring as it is just an amazing experience.
Yeah, I thought I'd add an extra bit of challenge to the trip by putting an eight-month-old child in the back seat.
Oh, no. No, thank you. I don't think I could go that far. Did you really do it with an eight-month-old?
I did, yeah. I decided, wow. I was the choice of go overseas and be on a plane for 8 hours
drive for 3 days.
Or drive for 21 days, as we ended up doing, yeah.
21 days?
Yeah, I'm
driving. Where did you go?
I had a slow car.
Right, okay.
You know, it's like Texas, you know. It takes 3 days to drive across the ranch in Texas because my car is so slow.
Yeah, right.
So, A great trip of photo opportunities, though, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I came back with so many great photos and was just, even though I researched the whole trip before I left, there were so many things that we discovered as we went that I don't think any amount of Google searching would have ever revealed to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just amazing.
It's you never know what's around the next corner, the little sign. Little tree with plastic bottles stuck in it that just,
yes.
Yeah, you just have to stop to take a photo of because it's a tree with plastic bottles stuck in it.
Yeah,
it's a great trip indeed. I think every Australian's compelled by, I think it's part of the law of being an Australian, you must do that trip at least once.
Well, I think I said something along those lines on Facebook when I got back, you know, that every person should, you know, every Australian should at some point in their lifetime do that road trip. Because no matter, I don't think there is anything else that will reveal to you just how damned immensely big this country is.
Oh, yeah, I think they're just going to reveal whether your relationship would last or not.
Well,
that'll do it too.
There is that. Although we did all right. We didn't kill each other. We had a great time. And yeah, for the most part, we were pretty good. I think the most stressed we got with each other was on about the second day, and we very quickly sort of realized it and we came to deal with it. And after that, the rest of the trip was fantastic. And we were on the road for
You put it in the trailer in the back, did you? just, it's a great way to resolve a lot of problems. A separate trailer, yeah, take turns.
No, it wasn't too bad. We got along pretty well. And when I think about it, yeah, we were on the road for 20 days as well, so.
Yeah. Because you stop, you sightsee, you look around, you shoot 12 or 13,000 photos. Yeah.
Exactly.
The obligatory getting pulled over by the police for driving too fast, all that kind of stuff.
No, I didn't suffer from that at all.
And you said you had a full experience. Unbelievable.
You know what really spun me out? As we were heading back from west to east, we left, where did we stay? Majura Pass, which is a couple of hours on the West Australian side of the West Australian-South Australian border. And for those who don't know this part of Australia, which is probably the majority of the Australian listeners and all of the international listeners, at the border, there is I wouldn't even call it a town, but they call it Border Village. It's really just a couple of roadhouses. And we're driving up towards Border Village, and it's a long straight road coming up to the border. And I'm sitting on 110 and I'm flogging along. And
miles an hour.
No, K's.
we are an international audience.
Yeah, of course. So I'm doing 110 K's and I'm coming up to the border, and about 300 metres out, I realise there's a copper waving me down.
And, that's nice.
And Kath goes, oh, you're done. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding, you know, because I think it's 100 zone out there. Maybe I was doing 120 and it was 110 zone, whatever. And I'm going, nah, this can't be right. This is about 8:30 in the morning, and I've pulled up and I've wound the window down. The guy's walked up and said, RBT. Oh. And I'm like, you're kidding me. This is the middle of nowhere. And they're doing RBT.
And an RBT is what?
Random breath test.
Thank you.
And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. And he said, mate, you would be surprised how many people stay at Eucla the night before, which is only 10 Ks back down the road.
Yeah.
They get a skinful and then they hop in their car the next morning and, you know, head out across the Nullarbor. He said, yeah, you'd be surprised how many we pick up here at this hour of the morning.
Oh, well, I bet. You'd be surprised. I had a very similar experience at the same place, but my guy pulled me over and he had just a tray in his hand, and in the tray was a whole bunch of chocolate bars and a milkshake. And if I whipped him down in less than 10 seconds, it was a sign of they've been doing pot. So, the munchies, you know? So, yeah, they'll try and trick you whichever way they can, those coppers. Got to get the quotas.
That is funny. So it was a fantastic road trip. Saw a lot of stuff, photographed a lot of great stuff. I reckon I came back with about 3 calendars worth of material.
Really?
Yeah,
you got the beauties of the bush calendars, did you?
Yeah, you could. Very easily.
Sheila at Bordertown Village, Darla down at Eucla. There's some bush beauties for you. Yeah. You put them all together, they've almost got a full mouthful of teeth.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, mate, since I last spoke with you, which must be, 12 months, what have you been up to?
I think it's the last time you talked to me was the last time you talked to me.
More than likely.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure that's spot on, actually, if I think back. I've got to check my calendar just to double check, but I'm pretty sure. What have I been up to? Well, I've been up to an awful lot of stuff. I recently came back from PMA at CES in Vegas.
Right.
Where I've just been elected first vice president of one of the main PMA boards.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I think if I pay enough people, they'll keep me on for a couple more years. it's the longest process to get a free plaque for nothing. You know, I've been there for about 7 or 8 years. Next year I get president elect, which is one step off president, and then they kick me off and I get a free little wooden plaque for all my efforts. So it seems worthwhile, but you got to stick it out. You know, it's like when you're collecting coupons for a free coffee. The coffee's garbage, but you're 7 or 8 coffees in, you get those extra two
just to get the free one that you didn't want.
You have to. Just those two extra things, yeah. So I'm pretty heavily involved doing that still. And a lot of the stuff we were over there organising was for a big event in Los Angeles in the beginning of May called the Big Photo Show.
Okay.
Which is a big open show to the public on all things photographic. So it'll be a pretty sensational event if you live out that way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's at the Los Angeles Convention Center, and thousands and thousands of things to go look at, prod at, poke and touch.
Over multiple days, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's over 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, right.
You know, world-class photographers, you know, talking about photographing pumas at midnight and a moonless night, that kind of stuff. Yeah, all other inspirational stuff you've got a chance of doing in your lifetime.
I'm assuming you're going over for that.
No.
Oh.
But you would assume. I'm there about 2 weeks later, funnily enough. But,
oh, okay.
It was my intention to, but I've just got back from one trip to the US. I've got to be back at the end of May again, and having two young girls means my wife would kill me.
Right.
Kill me dead. Another one. So I'm missing that one.
Fair enough.
But if you live out, it's definitely worthwhile checking it out.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I'll dig out a link for that and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll promote it more as it comes closer to the event. We'll talk about it when it firms up some of the stuff that's actually happening there. We can sort of talk about it,
cool.
Which is pretty cool. Other than that, it's been workshops here and in the US and around our fine country of Australia.
Excellent.
And had an awesome event recently in the end of November. We did a great event, a whole weekend on an old film set, which was pretty cool.
Which I see you're going back to in March or April?
First weekend of April, yeah.
Right.
If something's fun, you do it again, and it saves you having to think twice and come up with something new.
Fair enough.
Sorry, I have honesty Tourette's. If I think it, I say it. but it's a lot of fun. It's an old TV series set from an old Western TV series called The Man from Snowy River.
Oh, and, right.
And you've got just old jails and old hotels and saloons and
wow.
All sorts of cool horse stables and old church. So it's pretty cool.
So who runs the facility?
Well, it's actually owned by, I have no idea, but Nola, old Nola, who owns the motel next door. It's her son, who I've never met, so I don't know who
right.
it is.
Okay.
But Nola's a bit of a character. She runs the motel. We stay in the motel and we have access to the location for the whole weekend. And
wow.
It's still an active film set, so it's used for commercials and bits of TV series here and there as well still. So
yeah, right.
Just a bit of fun.
Wow. And you've got Mike Holman coming over from New Zealand to help you with that.
From the land of the long white cloud. Mike Holman's an awesome guy. He sort of... he's a perfect foil for me because he's meek, quiet, nice, friendly, subtle. Did I mention friendly? He's not as opinionated, not as arrogant. So he tends to, everyone sort of hangs around with him and I just organise the lunches.
I would highly recommend for anyone who can get along to that to do so because... Mike, as you may recall, looked after Kath and Max and I for the day that we were in Auckland in October 2010 when we were over there doing our cruise around New Zealand. Mike and Viv took us for the whole day and drove us all around the North Island and certainly across to the western side of the North Island and then back to Auckland again. Absolutely lovely guy. He's been a long time listener to this podcast and... And he's
if I'd known that I would have said something nice about him. So.
but he is a great teacher as well. I mean,
he's a remarkable guy. Yeah,
he took us out to this a place called the Murawai Gannet Colony, which is on the western coast of the North Island, and he was giving me tips on how to photograph these gannets in flight. And they were fantastic tips, and I came away with some amazing photos that I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that I would have got on my very first attempt at shooting, birds in flight.
Absolutely. I think one of the keys to a good teacher is to be able to succinct fairly complex concepts into just very quick, very simple, easy words that you can put into practice straight away.
Definitely.
Because there's that confidence factor. Once you actually do something and, oh, that actually works,
yeah,
you start to trust and believe and start to do it. So
yes,
Mike is exceptional that way. Apparently he just got his black belt in photography, I think, from the New Zealand Institute of Professional Photographers.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a black belt, or second dan black belt, something like that. So he's grandmaster black flash or something like that. He's pretty good at his photos, I tell you.
He is. And a multiple book publishing and calendar publishing.
Absolutely, yeah. He's pimped himself out everywhere. Yeah. The great thing about working with other people is other visions. Yeah, Mike sees.
Yeah.
I've always loved that. Doesn't matter who you go out shooting with, doesn't matter what their experience is, they see the world differently.
Yeah.
And you line up 2 feet apart from each other, you look at the same scene under the same light, and you take totally different photographs.
Yeah, right.
And you slap yourself around the head so often saying, why did I not see that?
Yeah, right.
You know, that's incredible. And Mike's that way. He just sees the world in his own little unique viewpoint, and it's fantastic to stand around someone like that and just, yeah. I'm a strong believer in what's called the Case School of Photography, copy and steal everything. So everything he does, I just try and copy and do myself, you know. Yeah, I don't have a black belt. Yeah, I've got a nice brown leather one, but not a black, and he's awesome.
Isn't there a slightly kinder version of that saying about imitation being the something or other best form of flattery, or words to that effect?
I tend not to do the nice stuff quite so well. A little bit more to the point and honest, you know. So I'm looking forward to shooting with him again, because it's nice to hang around someone who's relaxed and calm for once. Yeah, I'm not used to it in my life with a 5-year-old, an almost 2-year-old, and a frantic wife. You know? I don't have that in my life.
Oh dear. So I'm organising a photo tour as well for April.
Where are you going to?
Out to a place called Trundle, which, for anyone who knows New South Wales geography in any way, shape, or form, if you head out to Dubbo, which is kind of the middle of the state, about an hour and a half south of there is a town called Parkes, which was made famous for a movie called The Dish about the CSIRO radio telescope. And about half an hour west of Parkes is a little town called Trundle, right off the beaten track. And then about...
And you're going there, why?
Well, about 10Ks outside of Trundle is a farm that's owned by one of my photography mates, or the family of one of my photography mates in Sydney. And he was out there, it must have been about November, I guess, and he came back to Sydney and he started posting all these photographs that he'd taken out on the farm. And I started chatting with him on Facebook, and I went, oh, mate, what a great location. It'd be so cool to go out there with a couple of models and, you know, lights and reflectors and the whole nine yards. And he said, well, how about it? Could we do it? And so that was sort of the genesis of the plan, you know, and we started kicking around ideas as to how we could, you know, pull this off and make it work. And yeah, so I'm sort of madly in the planning stages for that at the moment. I've got my 2 female models lined up, and I'm 90% confident I've got a male model now locked in, and I just need to find
Fantastic.
A couple of makeup artists to take with me, and I've got a bus ready to, booked in to hire. The only problem is I'd need to find someone with a light rigid license, because I knew that you had to have a light rigid license to drive this 25-seater bus, and I just thought, that's fine, I'll just go and get a light rigid license. You know, can't hurt to have another license in my wallet, you know.
What's that?
And then
a couple of question tests one afternoon can't be that hard.
Yeah, it's just the the $800 fee to sit it. I was like, ooh, I don't think so.
Yeah, man.
So that would.
So are you taking a bunch of people, or is the 25 seater just to carry the whole nine yards?
The plan is for about 12 or 13 photographers, 3 models, 2 makeup artists, and then a bunch of gear.
So take 2 12-seaters. 2 12-seaters make 24 seats. It's the same, but you don't need a rigid license.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I think you can get up to a 15-seater, which doesn't need a rigid, so check it out.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
So I've come across that problem many times in the past.
Right.
And Then there's a long-time listener of this podcast, some semi-annoying guy called Annibal. You may have heard of him.
Yes. Richard Annibal. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Richard. But he's got a rigid, he's got a semi-rigid license. He could always fly him up for the weekend. I'm sure he'd be game.
I'm sure he would be.
I'm sure he would.
Yeah, that would probably punch a bit of a hole in the financial side of the equation, though. But anyway.
Cheaper than sitting for the license.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, I shall look into
what's so exciting about this location, though? What's
Well, you know, it's just a farm, and it's got heaps of old farm machinery from the 40s that's just, you know, sitting around, and, you know, no one's looking after it, so it's sitting there rusting away, and it just looks
just the way we like it.
It just looks fantastic. So myself and Jaden, my mate here in Sydney, whose folks own the property, him and I, we're doing a reconnaissance trip out there middle of March, an overnight trip, just him and I, because obviously he knows the farm because he grew up out there, and so it'll just give me a chance to have a look around the farm, get my head into the space of what's there, what's worth shooting, come up with some ideas so that we're not arriving out there, you know, on the weekend of the photo tour and me not having a clue as to what's exactly where. So, yeah. So,
why not? It's the way I run my business.
Yeah, fair enough.
there's one thing you've got to take on those sort of trips with you. It's a can of pink paint or spray paint.
Okay.
So what you do is you go and find an awesome location on the property and you find an area where you think it's going to be compositionally interesting. You spray paint a pink circle there. Then you go find a nice piece of rusty farm machinery somewhere else that's awesome. You spray paint pink on that and tell the farmer to drag that bit onto that bit. It's never in the spots you want it, you know.
Yeah,
so
right.
Can I have this here, that there, you know? You're not asking for too much, surely.
Can you just remove that wool shed and put it down by the creek for me?
If it's okay with you, it's okay with me. You know? I wouldn't mind, and I'd be very appreciative. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, so
anyway. I don't think it's too much to ask. You're allowing him to let you come there. I mean,
that's right.
I don't think it's too much to ask of him.
Yeah, so anyway. So, yeah, so that's all in the planning stages at the moment for April. So looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Mm. My comfort, what's the weather like that time of year?
Well, that was my reason for picking April, because by then the really nasty heat of summer should be starting to die off. And it should be quite pleasant autumn weather by that stage. So,
Nice.
Yeah, so it should be.
I look forward to seeing the photos.
Yeah, it should be sort of mid to high 20s by that stage of the year, I would imagine, out there.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, yeah, because when we first started talking about
it. Where could people find out about something like this event, though? I mean, where would they go to find out if they wanted to come along?
The only place you can get onto this is through the Facebook group that I set up, which is Sydney Photographers Meetup on Facebook. I don't actually have any sort of website as such for these photo tours, because I'm not running
is
this like
an
a
email,
business.
Like an email address anyone could sort of email to you? To
absolutely, if anyone wants to get in touch with me about it. studio@audiotou.com.
So I'm just writing that down a bit slower, I think. So it was studio at
audio2u, so the word audio, the number 2, the letter u.com.
Perfect.
Yeah. So...
So you're not making any money out of it, is what you're saying? But
no, I'm not aiming to make a profit. Costs. But as long as I cover my costs, I'll be happy.
Oh, terrific! So. Yeah, it's that way. People don't have such high expectations. Being that it's now a community effort where everyone's putting money in to put an event on, and everyone's involved. There's no official leader or person who's designated to make it all happen or else kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, hello.
That was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Your end just dropped out. Well,
yeah, well that happens to me a lot with my age. But it's yeah, I think last night we had several power failures in the area and 4 hours without power. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lovely hot night with no air conditioning. Ooh. And sweating.
Yuck.
Sweating like a pig, and that was just my wife.
You're a bad man.
We're still recording because she doesn't listen to this stuff anyway. No, I was saying if we're still recording, I was saying it's a community effort as opposed to somebody in charge running and setting everything up. So right. It takes a lot of pressure off the individual to make things be smooth and work and be successful, because it becomes a collective effort creatively and everything else as well. So,
well, that's a nice theory. I have found that in the past, I because I'm the one who organises it, people tend to look to me for guidance on how the thing should run anyway. So I kind of imagine that would be the case in this instance as well. So, and I'm fine with that. I, you know, will do my best to, you know, run it so that everyone comes away with photos they're happy with, and hopefully photos they wouldn't normally get when they're shooting around a city with bucket loads of ambient light. It's one of the things I love about getting out into the bush is the absence of ambient light. Yeah, at night time.
Well, the sun really, is it? There's some deep dark bush you're going into. So I've been to a fair bit of countryside in my time, and I tend to be able to find my way around. Okay, night time. Yes, I see where you're coming from.
Yes.
So are you going to do some light painting stuff at night? That sounds.
We
like
will probably do some light painting, and, you know, probably some star trails for those that want to stay up late and do that. So yeah.
Well, can I make a recommendation to anyone who wants to go along? Mm-hmm. If they want to get into some light painting, to look up a guy called Eric Curry, Curry.
Okay.
Probably the best light painting guy in the world.
Right.
Remarkable talent. We should try and get him on the show one day, have a chat.
Yeah, right.
He is, I go there all the time to his website for inspiration. His website's called American Pride and Passion.
Wow.
And, you will never see anything like it, I don't think. I've tried myself. I tried to copy and steal everything. I tried to do it. It's just too hard.
Yeah, right.
But his photography is astounding, and I think people will find it excellent to look at. He's got some great videos on how he does stuff, and certainly if you're in that sort of location, you've got a little bit of time and a fair few people to run around, you can have some fun playing with that.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Okay, I shall definitely check out his website.
You should, and we should try and get in touch with him. I reckon it'd be a fascinating person to talk to, because he has a vision like not a lot of other photographers, and that's always nice to hear from.
Yeah, definitely.
Something that's different.
Cool.
So we'll put a link to his website on the on the notes, I'm sure.
Definitely. Terrific. All right, Glenn. Well, mate, great to have a chat.
Well, yeah, we didn't really talk about much.
It was good to, well, I suppose I should have really sort of given you an opportunity to tell the listeners who are not familiar with you a little bit about your background. Do you want to sort of give us, you know, a couple of minutes of what your background is?
Well, it was a cold night in 64 in England. I was born in Sheffield, Yorkshire. No, you probably don't go quite back that far. I've been in the photo industry since I was thrown out of school at the age of 14. And apparently I was fairly disruptive, but I find it hard to believe.
So
I was thrown out of school, and my mother dragged me into a camera store and said, "This is where you're working, because the only skills you've got is your mouth, and you've got one of those." She says, and she says, lovely woman, my mother. And she said, the only thing you'll be able to do in life is sell stuff, she says. So you might as well sell something interesting. And she dragged me into a camera store, and she goes, "It's better than men's undies." And, you know, 32 years down the track, I haven't got into testing the men's undie theory just yet, but she may have been right. So I've worked in pretty much every major camera store in Australia over many years.
Right.
And I do a lot of work for the Photo Marketing Association International, which is a US-based organisation that promotes a lot of the photography in the world. I'm on several of their boards. I run, obviously, the business Creative Photo Workshops, which is running photo workshops on teaching people how to shoot people. I'm mostly a people shooter.
Yep.
Mostly, whilst I love landscapes, there's not a lot of opportunity to be out shooting landscapes, but people are everywhere. So, I get to exercise my passion a little bit more because people literally are everywhere. And I have a great passion for teaching. I think my greatest joy outside of my kids is seeing the light bulbs go on people when you teach. Yeah. I mean, you change their lives, and if they've got a goal or an ambition to become a photographer, to change that, to change their world and make their dreams possible, that's an incredibly great reward for me. So
yeah.
I've been around an awful long time, and as your intro said, I do have an opinion on just about everything. and it's very hard to not to stop me from actually giving it. So I'll do my best. I guess my goal for saying yes to coming on this program is just to... because I train in small groups, you know, 8 or 10 people at a time, incredibly satisfying, but not everyone can get along to an event. You know, it's just nice to be able to get to a wider audience, maybe get feedback from them about what kind of things they want to learn.
Sure.
Because as teachers, you always want to know, well, what do people want to know?
Yeah.
And having an audience to talk to is a great thing, so it will certainly guide me in making sure that we're covering. As the world of photography changes, we cover what people are interested in learning.
Yep.
And basically, I just love the sound of my own voice, so I thought I'd do that for that as well.
Nice. Well, given that Glenn has thrown down the gauntlet, I'm going to put it out there again to the listeners. Please let us know what it is that you would like Glenn and I to talk about. Drop us an email, either direct to me at studio@audiotoyou.com and I can forward them on, or I will re-instigate the email address we were using before, which was theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com, and I will set that up to automatically forward to Glenn as well. So if you want to just email either Glenn or myself, theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com, and let us know what you would like to see, you know, in the future of Shutters Inc. as a podcast.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear from you.
We like to say that good photography is a lot about problem solving.
Oh, definitely.
So, what are your problems? Tell us what your problems are. Now, when you're out, you have an idea for a shoot, and it isn't working the way you want. If you can kind of get an idea for what the problem is, let's talk about it. Let's discuss solutions to common problems.
Yeah.
Because the more we can solve problems, the better we can be as photographers. So,
yep, absolutely.
That could be a cool little thing. We could maybe have a problem a week session.
Yeah. And if you are happy to, you know, send an image that didn't come out the way you wanted to, but that you're happy for people to see it, by all means, forward an image along with the email. And that way we've got something, you know, we can see what you got. And, you know, assuming you've described what it was you were trying to do, we can then maybe troubleshoot, you know, why it didn't work.
Disassemble the image, yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
And we might post some of our ones that didn't quite work out so, so well. Because no photographer ever shows his bad photos. So, yeah.
That's
I'll show
true.
Ones with my finger over the lens or hold the camera back. So, yeah. All the joys of not paying enough attention when you're shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Glenn, good to talk to you.
And you.
And I will look forward to catching up with you next week.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Sounds good, mate. Talk to you then.
See you, Bruce.
Shutters Inc., another audiotoyou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes music store. For questions, comments and feedback, email studio@audiotoyou.com. We'll